Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wolf. Am I speaking with Mr. Wolf?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're ready for your hearing, and the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will be chairing your hearing at this time. He will be the lead, so the next voice you will hear will be the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, sir.
Good, good. Can you hear me clearly?
What's that?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. I can hear you very clearly.
All right. Thank you, sir. So you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Quincy. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. Although you cannot see us, I'm going to introduce you to the members who are participating in your hearing this morning, okay? You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal. You have our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. You have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your lead this morning. Also with us, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as the parole office, is Mr. Turner. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, sir, like I said, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to go over some information with you, and then see if the board has any questions. If there's anything that I say appears incorrect to you, sir, please feel free to correct that information. I'm going based on the information that we have available to us at the time, okay?
Okay.
So it looks like that you were previously certified for a board hearing. Somehow there was some type of mishap with Ames, and you didn't have a hearing last year in 2016. Is that right?
So, yeah. You still there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I couldn't hear the last part.
Okay, it looks like you were certified according to the information that we have for the Department of Corrections, that you were certified to have a hearing last in 2017. However, for some reason, it didn't, the computer didn't catch it. You didn't get a hearing haven't had a hearing since 2016. So this is the first hearing you've had since 2016. Is that right?
Yes, right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So you're appearing before this board for an absolute discharge, home arrest, or a regular parole. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. You are currently serving a 10-year sentence for sexual abuse, attempted to commit sexual abuse, a dangerous crime against children. You were certified.
Yeah, but that was on the lifetime. I have not committed a crime in over 30 years since 1990s when everything was committed, and it's been so long ago that I've kept myself clean here in DOC. You know, when I got this last 10, I was out there 8 months and I did really good. I paid all, I went to all my, you know, when I went to group, I did all my groups. There's no money I owe back there, no money. I took care of everything. I made sure everything was paid up, even when I did the you know, where they go in and they, you know, I did everything that the probation department told me to.
Okay. So you actually served, you were serving previously, you served an expired 19-year, 6-month term for molestation of a child, and then you were put on lifetime probation. And
yeah, I did 19 and a half, and then I did, I was put on lifetime probation.
Okay.
And then when I went back to court, the judge gave me 10 years on the lifetime.
Okay, so you had two charges, your original charges. You had the first charge, and then you had the second charge. You was put on count two.
I signed the plea, and the first one was for 19 and a half, and the second one for lifetime. There was no charges in between.
Well, that's what
I mean, there was two charges, but it was in the very beginning.
Right, so these charges are from the beginning, because what happened is that you did the 19 and a half years, you came out, you were put on probation, and then you violated your probation on the count two, and the judge sentenced you to 10 years on that second count, and you're doing that 10-year sentence now. Is that correct?
I'm doing everything I can to get this done. I'm trying to, you know, I saved my money. I put over $250 on the books. I've kept a job. I have not, never been late. I've been potential on my jobs here in prison, and everything is, you know, I've committed no crimes here in prison. I don't plan on committing no more crimes.
Okay,
I plan on going straight. I know when I get out, I got to get me a job, get me a place to live. pay rent, buy food, cook my own food, and I gotta stay away from any schools within a thousand, within what, a thousand, 1,000 feet, maybe half a mile from any school or anything else. You know, I understand all that, and I will register every time they tell me to register.
Okay, so sir, I'm gonna go finish going over some information. In your inmate progress report, I see that you have had quite a bit of program that you've actually had, including some sexual-related classes that you've taken since you have been incarcerated. It looks like your last programming that you had was actually in 2017, was the last program that I could see that you actually had. According to your inmate progress report, sir, you would like to seek temporary housing at an extended stay and apply for telemarketing, dishwashing, or a construction job. You would not be picky and would just enjoy working. You stated you would participate in the Alcoholics Anonymous, or NA.
I went out and looked for a sponsor, for AA, and I also had me a sponsor for the NA.
Okay, and says that you would also attend church service and that you will have money to start out and then seek assistance from charitable organization for additional assistance and food and clothing. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll seek assistance for food and food stamps, whatever I can get. But any job that comes available, I'm taking, whether it's washing dishes or whatever. You know, there's no shame in, you know, take them. I don't expect much. Just to go to work and, you know, pay my bills and stuff like that. Try to be a law-abiding citizen from here on out. I'm in my 60s now, and I just, you know, I'm tired of being in prison. You know, I'm tired of, you know, I committed my crimes, and I pay for them dearly, you know. I just want to try to be responsible and try. You know, I'm going to try my hardest to not get into anything out there, keeping myself safe and clean. If I do that, I'll be all right, you know.
Okay, well, Mr. Wolf, according to the Angel report, you did receive a couple of citations, one in 2016 and one in 2017. In 2016, you received a citation for promoting prison contraband. That is a major. You were found guilty of that, sir. Do you recall what happened in that incident, sir?
Well, it wasn't actually. It was in my cell, but it really wasn't mine. It was the guy that had been in there with me. He had left the stuff behind, and since I had no proof it was mine or his, then I had to, I couldn't say either way because it was in my house.
Okay, so that was in 2016, and then in 2017, so you also had another citation, which was a minor.
I had a violation, but it wasn't. It was just I was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and it just got to the point where when you get into some place and you're there with someone else, and he's actually getting the ticket too, and all of a sudden I was just sitting down, and I was next to him, so I wound up. The officer gave me a ticket too, so there was nothing I could do about it. But I don't get into trouble. I try to stay out of trouble. I'm not into politics here in prison. I'm not into no gangs, no affiliation, no nothing. I'm going to keep myself clean. You know, since I've been on this yard, I've had no tickets.
Well, sir, it says that this may have involved an incident where you were witness handing something to an open trap at cell number 42, and they directed you to return to your cell multiple times, and you repeatedly refused. So, what was going on with that?
Well, see, the reason why that was because we were all getting ready to go back on our cells, and a lot of them stayed out, and I decided, I was in the shower. I was taking a shower, and I just climbed out of the shower. And since I didn't take long enough to get in my cell, they gave me a ticket for, there's nothing then right there is, you're in situations where you're in prison, especially where if you don't, when they tell you to get to your cell, you need to go straight to your cell, but I was just climbing out of the shower, and I just got my stuff, and it was too late.
So what were you handed? What did they see you hand to someone?
What's that?
What did they see you hand to someone? Say that they witnessed you hand something through an open trap at cell 42.
what they did was there was another guy with me, and I happened to be up by the shower, and he passed the item, but the officer didn't know which one of us passed the item, so I was automatically guilty by default because I was there with him at the time, and the officer, instead of writing one up, he wrote us both up.
Okay, so...
And it wasn't actually me passing it, but since I was there with him, and I was affiliated with him, then, you know, I was there with him, and I got caught up. You know, I got caught up three times when I was in SMU1, but I all the time I was in SMU1, I tried to stay out of trouble. I didn't try to get myself into anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, your circumstances to all that stuff.
Okay, well, according to... the report, it didn't mention anyone else, but it does state that they witnessed you. It doesn't say that they witnessed some inmates. It just says directly that they witnessed you, not someone else. So I'm just going by what we have in the documentation. In the book.
Yes, I understand that, sir. I understand that. But you understand you're in prison, you're guilty by association or affiliation, you know, and I was guilty by association.
Okay.
I happened to be right next to the dude when all that went down, you know, so... I'm not going to stand there and deny I wasn't there with him, you know, because it's the last thing you want me to do is lie to you or lie to any officer. Yeah, I was up there with him, you know, I told the officer the truth. That's why he was lenient with, you know, when I went to see the disciplinary hearing officer, he was lenient with me. He gave me the 30 days LOP, and then that was it, you know. He gave me the LOP, and I accepted it because what can I really do?
Okay.
You know, except, you know, if I do something wrong, I expect to be punished for it. If I do something right, then even in prison, you don't get rewarded, but they show it. If you're honest with them, you know, you get a little respect from the officer, and the officer gets respect from you. It's like when I go out there, if I get a ticket and I'm guilty of a ticket, or I'm there and I do something, or maybe a little turn, you know, I'm not innocent of it.
Okay, well, I understand, Mr. Brooke, but according to the Ains, you know, it shows you guilty of a major and guilty of a minor, and that's what we're going off of. So I do want to say that you did, in 2015, you had, in May of 2015, you had a parole hearing, at which time you were denied, and you had one in January of 16, at which time you were denied at that time. Is that right? You've been before this
board? That's right, sir. That's right.
You've been denied. According to the court documentation and the pre-sentence report that we have, the incident that we are talking about occurred back in 1990, and it involved two, actually involved four victims.
Honorable Mr. Johnson, I don't know. They look kind of young back there. If they're young, they may want to step on the outside. They may be old enough to stay in, but I just leave it up to a family, because what will be discussed will be adult talk, and I don't know whether the young ones want to stay in or not.
She's okay.
They're okay? Okay, thank you. Just want to put
that was right.
Okay. So, Mr. Brooke, I'm going back to 1990 when these incidents have actually occurred. They actually involved two females. One was 10, one was 8. They also involved two males. One was 4, and one was 2. The 2-year-old was your son. You were married, and the 2-year-old was...
No, wait a minute. Be honest with you, they didn't, nobody stood up in court and nobody said nothing. There was nobody else, like, you know, there was a written statement, and I was so out of it with drugs and narcotics and drinking and all that stuff that I find anything. But I will, you know, but I've been punished for that. You know, I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to weasel out of anything or deny anything. I made a big mistake, and I tried to do better with my life, tried to stay away from everything.
Well, Mr. Wolf, I'm just going back over the information that we have. So basically, back in 1990, what you were convicted of involved a 10-year-old female, an 8-year-old female, a 4-year-old male, and a 2-year-old, which was your biological son. Is that right?
No, he wasn't my biological son. There was no, I found out later that he wasn't my son at all. She had told me for 2 years she had told me she, for 2 years she, well, he was my son, but whenever I did his DNA back then, come to find out that he didn't have the same blood type or didn't have the same genes as me at all.
Okay, well, at the time that you went to court, it was just listed. I could understand that. So the two-year-old wasn't your biological son either. Is that right?
No, he wasn't.
All right. Well,
he was not.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. And actually, we have information in here. I'm just going to just briefly go over some of the information. I'm not going to go through all of it, but when you were convicted and did the 19 years, this involved the two females, and you having sexual intercourse or touching them inappropriately, and also engaging in having a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old involved in some type of sexual contact or sexual.
When was that?
Back in 1990, what you were convicted of.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah, all that, you know.
Yeah, that happened back then where you had sexual contact with the two females, and then you had the two brothers engaged in sexual contact with the mother.
With the what? With the 15-year-old?
You had the two boys, one for one, two.
You yeah, yeah, two girls and one boy, yeah.
Right, you actually had the two boys get on top of one of the females and grind on them, or hump on them, as they say.
But on all that, that's why I signed a plea.
Right.
Because most of that was a blur to me. I'm just, you know, that's why I signed the plea, because that was like a blur to me. I was so out of it, I couldn't see, you know. Now I straighten my act up. Now I don't even drink here in prison. I don't drink at all. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't drink coffee. I don't do none of that. Everything is shut down.
Okay,
as far as drugs, alcohol, and stuff like that, I didn't look at myself really super clean, though, as far as anything. So if you give me a UA, all my UAs are clean.
Okay, well, originally, sir, you admitted to being and having sexual contact with these victims, and then later on,
I signed a piece of paper that the officers wrote out, and I signed it, but that was basically when they signed that, nobody wanted to testify against me. They didn't even say nothing. I'm the one that went to them and told them, I think I did this, I think I did that, boom, 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 I wrote it all. And I signed it, but I wasn't all together, you know. I wanted to clean my act up. That's why, you know, I admitted to it. And when they gave me these years, I decided that, you know, maybe I'm guilty in a certain part of it and stuff like that, but I was willing to take the punishment for the whole thing.
Okay, well, Mr. Wolf, I'm not going to, you know, debate the issue with you. Certainly, you know, we don't have a police report, and nor were we there doing the investigation. However, sir, you know, according to the pre-sentence report that we have, this incident started because the two young females reported to their mother that you had sexually assaulted them. And so that's when all of it came. And then, you know, during part of the interviews, they interviewed the two boys, and they all related the same story about how you had sexually assaulted them and you know, had them take off their clothes, and you sexually penetrated them. And
well, see, the only thing is, back then when the DNA was done, all that, when the DNA was done back in 1990, there was no actual evidence and no actual proof.
Okay.
There were no doctor's reports, there was nothing like that. There wasn't no actual proof. All I did was, you know, but at least I was willing to admit to something.
Okay, well, sir, we don't have a police report, but we do have in the pre-sentence report that you admitted to being involved in it, that you admitted to what your involvement is, and then later when it came time to sentence, you changed your story and you said that you wasn't guilty of all of it. You may have been guilty part of it, but you weren't guilty of all of it, but that's neither here nor there. You were convicted of these crimes. You did plead to those crimes. You did 19.5 years in prison for it. You were then placed on count two as a result of your plea agreement. You were then placed on, because some of the charges were dismissed as a result of your plea agreement, some of the counts were dismissed, and so you only had two counts. One count you got 19.5 years, the other count you got
10 years.
Lord, you got lifetime parole, and as a result of being on lifetime parole, you violated your lifetime probation, and you violated.
You mean I violated? Yeah, and I got that, and well, I vacated. They vacated the lifetime, and they gave me 10 years on the lifetime.
Correct. Okay, well, sir, why don't you tell me in your own words And tell this board and your own words what occurred, what was going on with you during that period of time.
You want me to what?
Tell this board in your own words what was going on with you in 1990 when this incident occurred, and what occurred when you were released and wind up being revoked to put back on, when the judge revoked your probation and sentenced you to 10 years in prison.
Well, what occurred back in 2012, you know, was I went and I got, and I violated myself. I told them that I didn't want to do more life, no more lifetime. And so they turned around and they gave me, I went in front of the judge and admitted to the judge and told him that I wouldn't, you know, that I would rather just take the years for it so I could be free when I got out. I know I'm going to have to register for the rest of my life. But I told the judge, and the judge turned around and says, I'm going to give you 10 years for the lifetime. I asked her if I could go ahead and when I got out, that would I be, I wouldn't have no parole or not, you know, probation or nothing. And she said, no, you won't have to worry about no probation. You ain't got no, but you will have to register for the rest of your life. But I plan on living in Maricopa County. I don't plan on leaving it, and I plan on registering every year if I have to, or every whatever amount they tell me. You know, in 1990, I was convicted of 19 and a half for honest with you, child molestation, but it wasn't, I wasn't actually, you know, I'm like I said, you know, the possible chance I did it, but I would just, or I did certain things, but I, you know, it's been over 30 years, it's been close to 30 years since that occurred, and a lot of that stuff, you know, I'm up in my 60s now, I'm 61, I'll be 62 next year, and I tried to put that past me and move forward, but, you know, I feel bad for everything that I did, and that's why ever since I've been in prison, I've did nothing but program. This is the first year that I have not programmed.
Well, Mr. Wood, let me just go over some information with you because, you know, what's in the pre-sentence report and what you stated is that it's not the same information. According to your probation officer, prior to you being violated, sir, you were attending some programs, but you were also exhibiting some disruptive behavior in the programming that you were actually doing, and you were making some inappropriate comments to the actual presenters that was doing the classes, and then it looks like you absconded where nobody could find you, and then they did find you in the early morning hours, and at the time that they found you, you were riding a bike with no light on it, and you were in the company of another sex offender, and they had no idea what you had been doing or what you had been out there doing, and you had been avoiding communication or contact with your probation team, and they said that you were violating, you know, your orders on what you was, what was appropriate and where you could go and what you could do. And that's why your probation was revoked. It wasn't revoked because you just went in and turned yourself in and said you no longer wanted to be on probation, sir. You didn't comply, you didn't go, you became an absconder, your parole officer didn't know where your whereabouts were. And they didn't know until you was arrested, and that's why you wind up going back to court, and that's why the judge revoked your probation.
That's all true, but I turned around and I did good for 8 months out there, you know, and I kept the job and everything. I was out there barely 2 weeks, and I had a job, and I had a play, and you know, and I was working for a telemarketing place. And I never did without a job while I was out there. I always found me something to do as far as work's concerned. I just got to the point the last month that I was so tired of, you know, I just wanted to come back and do the rest of my time. I asked him, please just give me the last, give me time on the last one. And we'll, if I have to go back out there and reinstate myself on probation, I'll do it, but this time I'll make it.
All right, well, sir, let me see if the board has any additional questions for you, Mr. Wolf. Mr. Kimonis.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Can you hear me, Mr. Wolf?
Yes, sir.
I have a question, and that is, are you saying that you may or may not have committed sex crimes against children because you were under the influence of alcohol and drugs?
Back then, back in 1990, I was into the drugs heavy. I was into the alcohol heavy. I would get up in the morning and smoke me a joint before I even went to work. When I was at work, I was getting high too. You know, back then I was just, I was never caught with nothing like that. But I was high on a lot of, I got high all the time while I was out there, and it got to the point where, I couldn't go to work without catching, getting high or whatever. And to me, I was wrong on getting high, but I was heavy into drugs and heavy into drinking. I used to drink tequila sunrises and JD and Coke all the time.
Okay, sir. Well, here's my question. Have you ever admitted to yourself that you're sexually attracted to children?
Have I ever admitted
to yourself?
No. I mean, I've admitted, the crime, but as far as sexually attracted, no, I'm not. I'm not sexually attracted to children. I like, right now, in this point in time, for the last 10 years, I'm attracted to women, but over 40, I don't... Anything under 30, 40 years old, I don't have nothing to, under 40, I have nothing to do with, because I know it's wrong now, because I did the SOETP, Sex Offender Education and Treatment Program. I did that, and I did cycles, I did RPP, relapse prevention plan, setting up goals for myself and everything else. But as far as being sexually attracted, no, I'm not. I took a test. It cost $1,200 that the probation department set up, and I did. I paid $300 cash just to take that test for the state. You know what I'm talking about?
No, sir. I don't.
Okay, well, they give you this test, and you're on the computer. And when you're on the computer, you look at all kinds of different things, kids, adults, everything else, And you got to answer yes or no. They can tell if you're lying or not, because it's like a polygraph. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And then you constantly do it, and then they turn around and then they evaluate it, and then they give you the results, whether you are. But no, I'm not. To be honest with you, I'm not attracted to children at all.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
All right, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes, sir. Mr. Wolf, where did you take the SOETP program, and when?
Okay, I took it in Buckeye and Morgan. Okay, wait a minute. When the SOETP came out, I started in Maury, but I did it. The SOETP was actually in Winchester. And I did the SOETP in Winchester, and I had my certificate for the 1 year completion. And, as far as that, I can, what layouts are? Layout is actually writing down everything in the whatever you did, whatever you thought you did, your pros, your cons, your negatives, your positives, and then I wrote a cycle to tell you from the beginning where I was like going from the different colors, like from red all the way up to blue, which is the red is like whenever you do something bad or whatever, if you got empathy, remorse for certain things, whether you feel bad for the things you did, but you had to explain everything. You had to explain everything, and you wrote this big paper, and it was like a round circle, and it had different cycles on it. And then the last was doing an autobiography of myself, to the time I was small, till I was big. And then I did an RPP, which is a relapse prevention plan, to then make sure that I would never commit or never do anything wrong. So I got to go by that, that way. Because see, where am I going to be in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years? 1 year, I'm going to give me a place to live, a job, and go to work every day. In 5 years, I'm going to try to buy me a place to live, try to buy me a rent-to-own place. And by 10 years, I should have it. 10, 20 years, I should have it paid off. Goals like that set up. Everything that I've ever did in prison and everything I do out there, I even got my high school diploma here in prison. Well, I started out with a fourth grade education, and now I'm on a fourth or fifth grade education. I completed everything that I could here in prison. And anytime they put me in a group, anytime they put me in some group, I got certificates on that, because I actually applied myself there as I could.
Mr. Wolf, I'm curious about that, because I'm looking at your AIMS record and there's no evidence that you completed SOETP. That's why I'm asking that.
No, I completed it in Winchester. They gave me a certificate for it, And the reason why there's no record of it,
yes,
because it was taken before when I was doing the 19 and a half years. And every time DOC updates, when you come over and leave the system, when you come back into the system after 8 months, you start out fresh again.
No, sir, that's not true. Your AIMS record is cumulative for your any contract you have in the system since the 80s or earlier.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that. But I did take that year on the SOETP. There's no way that why would I get that certificate if I didn't have it, you know, if I hadn't completed it? And maybe if they didn't put it on the AIMS, it ain't gonna be me.
Mr. Wolf.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir.
Yes,
ma'am. I don't see any other questions coming before the board, sir. So what I am going to do, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. We're going to be going into discussion. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board, sir, prior to the board going into discussion without repeating yourself?
Well, I would like to tell the board that I know that I got to be careful out there. And I know that I got to show consideration and respect and understanding for other people. I know that I made mistakes in the past, and I feel bad for everything. You know, I can't even watch a movie, you know, without you know, sometimes shedding a tear on that stuff, you know. And I feel, you know, it's hard for me to do anything wrong anymore. I can't even harm another human being. I won't raise my hand to nobody no more. Plus, I felt, you know, I got this, you know, I get this guilty feeling in my chest, you know, that hurts real bad when I do that, you know. I'm not trying to weasel out of anything. I'm just saying if they give me this, I'm going to try my hardest to stay out there. If they parole me, I'm going to do my best to keep myself clean and make sure that I got a place to live and work and stuff. I'm not going to go to no... I'm gonna stay away from all kinds of trouble and stuff. I'm thinking about going and find myself a church so I can go to church services and stuff like that, you know. I'm thanking God in my life, but you know, that's not an excuse. I've gotta keep myself clean. I've gotta make sure that I make it out there. You know, I feel bad, you know. I feel bad for the things I've did in the past, but all I'm asking for is a chance, you know, to make it, you know. And I'm a hard worker. I'm potential in everything I do, you know. And I even miss the dogs. And I like dogs, you know, and I miss my dogs out there, you know. And if I had my way, I'd find myself a job, and I'd find me a place where I can do, you know, what do you call that, to help needy kids and stuff in other worlds and other countries. I donate them a fifth of my check just to do that, you know, to help them, you know, and help, you know, help the animals and stuff. You know, it's only right that I give back something because for the things I've did in my past, you know. Okay. I just want a chance to make it.
All right, so the board's going to go into a discussion. So while the board's in discussion, Mr. Wolf, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line. Do not hang up the phone, but I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion, sir. And then
yes,
we will make a decision,
yes,
at that time as whether to grant you parole or to deny your parole at that time. But I need you to remain silent, but stay on the line while the board's in discussion. The board is now in discussion. I think we've all had an opportunity to speak with Mr. Wolf. I do want to make notice that there is a report from the county attorney's office that asked the board not to grant Mr. Wolf any parole and that he complete his sentence. They describe him as a dangerous sexual predator. They're putting on young children between the ages of 2, 10, and 10 years old. And I want to say that, you know, after reviewing the pre-sentence report and the information that's available to her, this involved four young females. One of them, the oldest, was 10 years old, and she also was mentally challenged. She was also mentally challenged. One of the four victims, the two of them were males. One of the males was 2 years old, the other one was 4 years old. And they were forced to engage by threats of being killed. Forced to engage in sexual relationships with their two sisters while Mr. Wolf actually watched these incidents occur. He did penetrate Tamitha's the 10-year-old victim. He did penetrate her both in anal and vaginally. He did have the two boys penetrate the girls while he watched them. This went over on over a period of time, and subsequently two girls found out. He was given a 19-and-a-half-year sentence, which he served. He was then, as a plea agreement, he pled to two counts. One count he got the 19-and-a-half years, the other one he got the 10-year, he got lifetime probation. However, he decided he violated his probation. His probation officer revoked him, and at the time that he was stopped by police riding a bike with no light on, he was with another sexual offender. We had no idea what they were doing during that period of time, and it really seems as though, in talking to Mr. Wolf, he's still not taking any responsibility for his actions and the acts that he committed on these young victims, both male and female, and you know, from 10 years old to 2 years old, that they he actually assaulted them. These are sexual assaults occurred while the mother was at work, and the mother had entrusted him to watch the kids, and according to the information that we have, it wasn't until the two females told their mother that this incident actually occurred. But I do not think that Mr. Wolf would do good out there on parole. He's already, on community supervision, he's already shown that he could not do the probation time and abide by the rules and regulations that were out there. I think that he would be a danger and threat to the community if he was released out of there. I think that his sentence end date is back in July of 2020, and I think that Mr. Wolf should stay incarcerated and do the remainder of his time. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of the board, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Johnson. As he described it, it appears that Mr. Wolf took deliberate action to get his lifetime probation revoked so that when he was released from prison, he would not be on any type of probation. So therefore, I think he should serve his full 10 years.
I agree.
Mr. Kenyatta?
I just want to follow up that, as I often say, I don't know what's in Mr. Wolf's heart or mind, but I do find him evasive to the point of almost scripted when it comes to personal accountability. Thank you.
Okay, then I am going to make a motion to deny Mr. Wolf regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge at this time. That is going to be my motion. Afterwards, I will then go over the reasons for the denial. Also, I am going to recommend a 1-year set off.
Yes, I second.
Agreed.
And I am going to mark the reasons for denial. I think it's a serious and violent offense, you know, that the actual committed on these young children. I'm going to also mark it as a serious and deviant offense. I think there is definitely trauma to the victims, age of the victims. I think because these victims were 10 years old and sexually assaulted and penetrated, that it was a serious bodily injury to them. And also they marked multiple victims. They marked that he violated previous parole, which is why he's in custody. Because Mr. Wolf has stated that he turned into drugs when that happened. I'm going to say that he has a history of continued substance abuse. I'm going to mark repeat offenders since he continually violates these girls and they're all out on parole for probation. He violated his probation. He does have recent disciplinary infractions that has occurred. I think that he needs closer supervision. I think he has a, I'm going to put mark poor, no release plan, because it doesn't have a strong release plan, and also no family or community support. Is anything else the board thinks that should be added to it? Mr. Wolf?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the board has voted to deny you regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest at this time, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Also, sir, I do want to go over that the board did also also going to do a one-year sellout, so you will be eligible to come back and recertify by the Department of Corrections in about a year, or on about or within a year, to come back before this board at that time, sir. Do you hear the reasons for your denial? Would you like me to go back over those again?
Okay, so, but did any of you so you want me to spend the remainder of the last 2 years here in prison, or?
Well, sir,
you hear me?
Sir, the board has voted that at this point in time, your parole has been denied. Okay, you will be certified to come back before this board in about a year, sir. That is the decision of this board. You will be eligible to come back for this board in about a year, and at that time, the board will make a decision whether to grant or deny your probation.
I'm in my parole, right?
I'm in your parole. Yes, grant.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for your effort. Thanks for everything. I appreciate it.
That's going to conclude the hearing, Mr. Wolf. Thank you.
And I appreciate all you. You know, you're just going. You know, you're just trying with me. You know, you're trying to work with me on certain things. And you know, it's your decision what you want to do. You know,
yes,
all I can do is hope and wish. You know,
yes,
and
sir.
Keep myself clean. You know.
Yes, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Wolf. Thank you for participating with us.
All right. Then I will see you in a year, right?
In about a year, sir. Yes, sir. The Department of Corrections are the one who will certify you eligible, and at that time they will notify us, and you will be placed on the calendar to come back before this board.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right.